Well, we're starting this morning back again. Last week we were still teaching on the areas of living a life of faith. We were looking at Joseph and Mary last week, and we looked at them and following the plan of God for their life. They lived it. They follow it. They weren't some big name people, and yet they did the will of, they did God's will, and really, you know, they took care of the Son of God in the earth, you know. Came in the flesh and they did it, and praise God. Thank God for their obedience today to do the will of God. And we found out that they were some extraordinary people. They weren't like the crowd. And there's one thing, if you're going to follow the crowd, you're probably not going to follow God. Because the crowd usually doesn't follow God. You know, the crowd usually has their ideas, and that doesn't mean the people are per se are bad, but they have their ideas about things. And there are people who seek the will of God, and that's what we're doing. We want to find out the will of God. Now, we're teaching on the areas of faith. I want to just read to us, because the Lord's given me opportunity this morning to talk about Abraham. We've been trying to get there. This is what he started off to talk to me about, and we hadn't got there yet. But now we're going to talk about Abraham this morning. But I want to read from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. In the first verse, and it says, because it ties in as we're going to begin to speak about Abraham, he's a man of faith. And for him to be a man of faith, he has to fall in line with these script, with scriptures to be a, what the Bible says that faith is. And so we found in verse 1 there it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to find out as we look at Abraham. Abraham did not follow what was seen. He didn't follow what was seen with the eye, but he did follow God. Well, I always like the fact because it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, faith will give substance to your hope. Until you come to the place of faith, what you hope for has no substance. And if it doesn't have substance, it can't be brought to pass. In this realm, something has to have a materiality to be able to manifest itself in this realm. It has to gain substance. Our faith gains substance of things that are in the realm of the Spirit and makes it real in this realm. It makes it real here. You know, just think about your salvation. You called on the name of Jesus, you got born again, and you had a change in your life. It manifested, didn't it? It manifested and changed your life. Well, that's what your faith did. You responded by the, to the Word of God, and what you might have hoped for change. Man, I lived 30 years thinking about changing. Never did. Got born again, it changed my life. Well, in other words, my hope before never had any substance to it. And it got substance when I came to the place of faith. Then I received Jesus Christ by faith, hallelujah, and it changed my life just like it changed your life. And we also read, because we found out in verse 6 of that same chapter, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God. In other words, it is not possible, not possible to please God without faith. You can't do it. And you know, everybody thinks, well, I please God because I do everything right. I'm going to tell you what, you're never going to please God. You know, even the stuff that we do as best as we understand many times is not perfect. God, if God required perfection of you, well, you might as well forget it and just go. The Jews had the law and couldn't keep it. You couldn't follow that law of perfection. You can't follow it. You and I walk by faith in the perfection of Jesus Christ. We walk in His perfection. We're not trying, you know, last I checked, Ed wasn't God. So, you know, I'm not going to try to go there. Most Christians, I think most Christians start off probably in their, as baby Christians, trying to be God. And it's just like a child tries to be their parent. You ever see that, little kids trying to mimic their parents and don't do too well at it? Well, you know, I find out, I don't know, I'm sure we're never going to arrive at the place that we're, you know, do everything like God does it. You know, I believe we're going to have an eternity of learning. I can't imagine that you step into an eternity and you're not going to keep on learning and learning and learning and developing. You know, I'd hate to think you come to the place of stagnation and you retire in heaven. To me, I ain't going to like heaven. If heaven's a place of retirement, I ain't going to like it. I'm not interested in retirement. I'm not interested in it at all. I'm interested in continually developing and growing and learning and doing stuff. Hallelujah. Man, there's stuff to learn and do. And I want to be a part of it. I find that's what I like. If somebody wants to go do something else, fine. But it's not for me. Hallelujah. I like to just keep on learning. I like to keep on, you know, and I think about people who listen to Bible school. I remember going to Bible school is, number one, before I went to Bible school, I studied the Bible as much as I did when I went to Bible school. And after Bible school, I remember a lot of the students would say, oh man, they were just sort of glad school's over and all this kind of stuff. They're not going to do this anymore. And I thought, my God, I wouldn't want to sit under your ministry. You're not going to do this anymore? Say, my words, I've done more studying after than I probably did in school. And, I enjoy it. I look forward to learning new things. I look forward to understanding. I would hate to think that next year I'm going to be as dumb as I am right now. Most people in this world are going to be worse off next year in their thinking, because if you don't develop to go ahead, you will fall back. It's one thing about education and learning. I found this out. The things I never bothered to learn again about that I learned in school, it's gone. I don't remember it anymore. I don't remember. So you got to keep going ahead. You got to keep learning. That's what keeps things fresh. So that's what we're doing. But faith is, we found it's impossible to please God without faith. It says a guy who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're going to find this. We begin to look at Abraham. We know this about Abraham. Abraham then had to believe that God was going to reward him. I've heard people say, I'm not looking for any reward. Well, then you're not in faith and you are not pleasing God. People who don't believe in getting reward. This is one of the great fallacies where people get upset about, teaching about the areas of finances. I know people got into extremes, but we need to understand that God does want to reward us with some money. And see, this is one of the things, these people come along and, I don't want none of these earthly goods. Well, then you're out of the will of God, because God has a plan to give you some earthly goods. Because God expects you to give, and if you don't have any earthly goods, you ain't got nothing to give, you're out of the will of God. God is a rewarder. Always look at God in that way. I don't have to specifically look at God of, I got to get this from him and I got to get that. But there's one thing that I know how it works. If I follow God, I'm always getting stuff. He's always blessing me. He's always doing something for me. That's the system. I don't know about you. I like it. I don't want that other old religious system I came out of where I don't want no earthly goods. And they hung on to them like they really loved them, because they didn't want to give none of them up. They're out here. They're just after money. A lot of people would say that. That's exactly what they're after. They're always looking for somebody else's money. They go to the government trying to get the government to give them money that the government took from somebody else. And they're always trying to do these things. Always trying to get money that we don't want. They're always mad at the rich man, and the only reason they're mad at the guy that's rich, because they're covetous, they want his money. That's why they're mad. They don't like it. Well, he goes out here. He steals from everybody. How do you know he steals? Unless you're a thief, I don't know a lot about the stealing things, but thieves do. And usually thieves know what other thieves are doing. Glory to God. Some people get rich because they work. Some people are poor because they don't work. You're never going to not work and have what the guy has that works. Today, all this bit about, people retire, they're going to have enough money to retire. They want to retire at the position that they did when they worked. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you better have big bucks. So you better have been really working. If you just wanted a 40-hour week, well, forget it. And you want a 40-hour week? You ain't going to retire like that. There's one thing as I learn about rich people, get around rich people, they work a lot more hours than people who are sitting around and want to get wealthy and retire, but don't, want a 40-hour week. They work all the time, You get these guys in corporations and that stuff, put 60, 80 hours a week in. I look at, my son-in-law, he's a vice president in the corporation. They work, man. He got to travel, be away from his family. He's got to do things. Makes good money, but he got to work. He works, man. He says, I want the money, but I don't want to do nothing. I want to sit home in front of the television, have a good time, Watch my favorite preacher and be rich. God didn't say he'd bless you watching your favorite preacher. He said he'll bless the labor of your hand. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. Hallelujah. You know why? And I really, God said, one thing is when Michael read that scripture, it just went off me. It says, it's not looking at the things that are behind. You know, what didn't work last year, don't try to drag it in this year. If your thinking didn't work from last year and gets you up any better, then throw it away and get something that'll work. Leave those things that are behind. Hallelujah. See, so many people, they just drag the old same stuff in from last year. They'll drag it into the new year and wonder why the new year turned out the way the last year did. It won't do any better. Hallelujah. You got to throw some things out. Also, if you've messed up last year, leave it last year. Don't go drag it into the new year whining about it. Hallelujah. Believe God for something better. God forgives you. You forgive you and walk in what's right. God is a rewarder. And we're going to find out that Abraham, surely this man was rewarded. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Word of God, we know this, that he pleased God, that he did walk by faith. Abraham was a man of faith, walked by faith, and God rewarded him. And I want you to understand it. It is no different for you. Many people don't have the expectation of reward, and that's why things aren't working for them. You know, some people are just enough to get by, enough to, that's all the reward they want. They get the reward that they, what they do. They don't look, you know, but the Bible talks about God multiplying things unto you. There are some things the Bible says God adds, and there's some things multiply. I don't know about it, I like the multiplication table when it comes to blessing better than I like the adding table. I go for the multiplication table. And he said he'll multiply things, but you need to understand this. This has to do with you. And not with God. See, a lot of people, oh, this is over in God. No, what have you been doing? Has your mouth been speaking multiplication or just get by? Because you'll get whatever you're going to be believing for and whatever you're going to be asking for. That's what God will be able to do with you. God will operate for you in the level of your faith. See, I learned that. I learned over time. There's areas that I really had to learn to start to bring my faith up. Because my faith was on a low level. And I was receiving on a low level. And there wasn't nothing wrong with God. It was wrong with me, my faith. You know, you can outgive your faith. Do you know that? People do. Preachers try to talk you into doing it all the time. You can end up poor listening to preachers talking about thinking you're going to get money just because you gave money. I get money by faith. I don't give it just based on my giving. If you don't have the money, you don't have the faith to get back, you can give all you want. And a lot of them lie about it. You know, they act like just because you give it, you're going to get back. That isn't the way it works. It all operates with faith, pleasing God. God's a rewarder. Well, what do you believe in? What do you believe in? You believe in, you know, he gives back 10 cents on a dollar? Is that what he gives? There's a lot of people, that's what they're operating on. They're just glad to get back 10 cents on the dollar. You know, they're just, oh man, I don't know, it's just... You know, there's some people there. Hey, we got to be able to go beyond in our reward idea about God, and in our giving. You know, we're out here. You know, God doesn't. You know, it's no pleasure for God to you give your money to God, the things that God wants you to give to, and then you don't have the faith to get reward back. God doesn't want that. He don't look like great pride of that kind of thing. He wants you to be in a position, man, when I'm doing this, God rewards me in whatever I do. Hallelujah. I'm out here following his plan and he's rewarding me. God's chasing me down. Hallelujah. The angels are chasing me down to bring me things. God is, you know, all good always comes to me. Hallelujah. And you start speaking the right things and start believing for the right stuff. Hallelujah. Start saying the right things. Getting your faith out there. God wants to be renowned as a rewarder. That's what he wants to be known by. Without faith, I can't please him. Then therefore, he is the rewarder, the one who operates in faith. Therefore, God's great pleasure is rewarding. It must be. He's happy when you're in faith. Why? Because he can reward. If you don't like a giving God, you'll have to leave Christianity. Because Christianity don't have another God. His God, our God, is a faith God, and his faith is based upon reward. He gives reward. So you should always expect reward back. Hallelujah. And that's why I like to look at Abraham. Abraham was when you look at him, hallelujah, he inspires my faith. And so we're going to start with looking at Abraham and reading from Hebrews the 11th chapter. We're going to look at verse 8. And it opens up and says this concerning Abraham, by faith. Now Abraham, verse 8 opens up, by faith. So we know this. Abraham is doing something by faith. This is what we can say, knowing just reading those. Abraham, now we're going to hear something that Abraham did that he pleased God. This is what he did in pleasing God. He did it by faith. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Now listen to this. We read those other two verses, verse 1 and we read verse 6. We can see already with Abraham. Abraham's doing something by faith. We know it's dealing in the areas of faith because he went to a place he didn't know about. In other words, he wasn't walking in the seen realm. When God told Abraham to go over to the land of Canaan, when he told him to do that, Abraham didn't go down and get out his GPS. He didn't find out what was over there. He didn't go down to AAA, get some maps, and give me some things about some tourist spots there and things are going on. He had none of those things. He had never been to this place. And from what we understand, he didn't really know much or nothing about it. But God said to him to go there. I want you to go to that place. And Abraham pleased God by obeying what God said to do. Abraham went there for this purpose because God, and we're going to find out, God promised him reward to go there. God will never, ever, never, ever ask you to do something that there's not reward involved in it. Because if there's not reward involved in it, there's no faith in it. Faith's what pleases God, and it tells you, you got to believe he's a rewarder. You got to believe that. That's part of your faith. See, many people give money and they have put out about faith about giving their money, but they have no faith about the reward. It says you got to believe that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what you're supposed to be believing. You're supposed to be believing reward. In other words, there is always reward in obeying God. This is one of the things, that's why I say this. To me, this is a wonderful system. This is why I like Christianity, because it's founded upon reward. There is no socialism in Christianity. People who don't walk by faith get nothing. In other words, she's like, you don't work, you don't eat. See, we live in a world that's all messed up. We live in a place think we're doing good for people and we're doing lousy for people. People don't do nothing and we take care of them. We're not doing good. We're not doing good. It's outside the will of God. We have this whole idea of how a system ought to be run. We got this, oh, we're just going to take care of everything. Well, I'll tell you, it works out great, don't it? Just working wonderful. I mean, you know, if somebody does work, they just don't want to take more and more from the guy who does work. And let's give it to somebody out here who don't. And see, we're living in this thing. It's all out of kilter of what God's doing. It's not operation. It can't operate. Abraham is operating in a system of faith. A system of faith always has reward. Always has reward. So God sent out Abraham. Says he by faith he went. He obeyed when he was called, it says, to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, it says, not knowing where he's going. It says, by faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So he went out by faith. Now think about this. Abraham was a man. They know by historical standpoints, Abraham did live in houses and stuff. Till he went to this land, and he went to this land. God sent him to this land, and when he got to this land, this wasn't a land he went down there and he found out, you know, where the nearest housing development was, and he was out there and he was in. You know, God had him in this land, and God moved him around in this land. He moved around from place to place in the land. He lived in tents and things out there. This was a whole different life, but he did this on the basis of reward. Now, you need to understand this. One of the things that I like about the areas of reward is doing the will of God, because there's things that you can be rewarded for by God that you can never attain by working. You could never attain by doing. I don't care how much you work or how much you do. You know, as I found out, I mean, one of the greatest blessings that ever happened to me was when the Lord spoke to me one night. I was only, it's 1983. It was like in fact, I think it was the beginning of July. It was either the end of June or the beginning of July, right around there. Well, the Lord spoke to me and said, you've obeyed me and done what I've told you to do. He said, I'm going to bring your whole family in. See, you can't earn that. You can't earn that. In other words, that was a reward by walking in faith. I did what he told me to do. In other words, I obeyed him. I did it. And he said, here's your reward. Well, he couldn't give me a bit. He'd have handed me $1 million. It wouldn't be as good as my family going to heaven. You get reward. So in other words, there's reward. And sometimes reward in doing what's right not necessarily comes in a way. I want you to think about this Abraham. Abraham's willingness to do what he's just going to do is going to change the world for all generations. The reward that he gained from this thing. Now understand, he got reward when he was in earth. But I'm going to tell you what. He set in motion for all humanity to be blessed that no one could have ever earned. All because why? He walked by faith. You want to change America? Walk by faith. You think you're going to go out here and vote and change Washington? Now, I ain't got nothing against voting, but you're better off in a bar if you have that thinking. Just go drink your life away or something. Because it's nonsense. I want to tell you what. There's things we must do spiritually to change the world. Abraham changed the world by obeying God. People that aren't going to obey God, it don't matter much what they do with their vote. If things don't spiritually change, America will go down the toilet. There must be a spiritual change. Voting people in office don't make spiritual changes. If you haven't noticed, we vote them down to Washington, and they go down there, and they're a nice person, and they get down there, and they get in that sewer, and they end up just acting just like the people around them. They do the same things. I believe they mean well when they go there. But the bad part is they go there. But if people don't change spiritually, carnal Christians are going to be affected. I don't care if a guy calls him Christian. If he's carnal, he's going to go down to Washington. He's going to be carnal there. You don't become spiritual. In a place of a lot of, you get spiritual, and if you end up in a place of carnality, you'll make it. It's just like Abraham and Abraham's nephew Lot. He went down there and moved into Sodom and Gomorrah. He was he spiritually wasn't in tune. And what happens? you go jump in the sewer. You better be able to stand in the sewer and swim, because if you can't, you're going to drown in the sewer. That's what you're going to do. And this is what we got. You know, we go, well, this guy, he's a Christian. Yeah, well, good luck. What kind is he? That's what I want to know. Because why? It's like a baby Christian who can't stay away from surf. You don't send him down the local bar when he don't know how to stay away from drink. What happens? He's going to get in the sword. He's going to drink. So it's going to happen. You go to the stuff, you're going to do it. You go hang around with people. I learned that. I was a drunk. I learned the fact that you stay away from the people. So other people drink. I stayed away from them. You don't hang around with them at all. You hang around with them, then you're the problem now. You know, you can pray to God day and night. It ain't going to change your life if you go jump in the sewer and you can't handle it. That's your problem. You're the trouble. And this is what people do. They become their own worst enemies. They don't realize, I was a young Christian, I figured out, man, if I'm on a walk around, I have to get myself into a position like today. It wouldn't matter what somebody, they could sit and get as drunk as they want. I ain't doing it. It doesn't matter. But I don't think it would have been well for me when I first started off. Getting around people, going down the bar, hanging out in a bar somewhere. I would have been just right back in the same junk I'd have been in before. And you've got to learn to develop. It's like getting in the water. It's okay if you're standing in 3 feet of water, you're probably not going to drown. But if you can't swim, don't jump in the 20 feet because you're going to drown. That's the way it works. And so we need to know spiritually, from a spiritual aspect. I don't know why I went over into that, but we did. And there's good, some good things. It'll help you out. Hallelujah. Walking by faith, you have good sense. I can always tell when people ain't walking by faith because they ain't got no good sense. That is true. Hallelujah. There's just some good wisdom. But Abraham, we found this Abraham. He went to a foreign country. He's roaming around out in this country out here. Out in that country. Now I want you to think about it. He's out there living in tents. He's doing this. God has given him a promise. This man has is on the course to change the world. I don't know that Abraham had any comprehension of the extent of what was going to take place. We know he had some revelation that God revealed some things to them, but we don't know how far he understood. Probably, you know, it's many times with ourselves. I know there's some times that I've never realized when God had me do certain things, I didn't realize the extent of what was going to change some stuff. I didn't realize how far it was going to go. You don't know. But you're just doing it at the time. You're walking by faith. You're believing God for reward. And this is why there's many things that dealing in us in the areas of reward have to do really laying up treasure in heaven. We're laying up treasure in heaven. And so it's really important to understand that. It's not just reward here. It's a reward in the life to come. You know, thank God, you know, and so you want to walk, you know, sometimes there's some things we see right away. Sometimes things that we do not see. Hallelujah. In verse 10 here it says, for he waited. Now listen to what it says about Abraham. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham saw something out ahead that held him. How could he go out into a land? And you need to understand this. God's going to send you to do something, or he puts you, wants you to walk in faith in an area. God's going to give you something so you can stand. Abraham's going to go to a land. Now I want you to understand about it. Abraham goes to a land, and in the land that he goes to, while he's there, he doesn't inherit a thing. Yet God is promised it to him and his descendants forever. How does he stand going there, out there, not really owning anything, moving from place to place, walking on the promise that this is his land? Well, because God showed him something in the future that was greater than that land. And when he got out there, he said, yeah, this land is nice, but there is a better one I'd rather have than this one. See, most Christians are, and I'm sorry to say this, most of prosperity in Christianity is all taught on a very low level. It's taught all about here and gaining things here. He had a vision for something. He had a vision for something greater. I want to read to you out of the book of Acts what Stephen said right before he was martyred. He preached a real good sermon. And he preached a sermon that was right down the line, true in the Word, and the Word people of the day killed him for it. The Word people of the day, these Pharisees and all that, they're the Word people of the day, and they got the rocks ready. They're going to kill Stephen, because we know Paul was involved there. He held the coats of the guys while they stoned him, a good Pharisee. Killed a guy who preached the truth. But I want you to see, it gives us a revelation. But we need to understand this. We have a revelation that's given here by Stephen that's not told us anyplace else in the Bible. It's not told us about, specifically about Abraham. We can go back in the book of Genesis and read about Abraham, and it doesn't tell us this. But we know, we have a revelation here that when Stephen was speaking. And in Acts chapter 7, we're going to look, start at verse 2. This is Stephen speaking. He said, brethren and fathers, he said, listen, the glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. It says the glory of God appeared to him. Now, we don't have that. We go over the book of Genesis. It doesn't tell us that. It tells us God, you know, spoke to him and told him to do something. But we found the glory of God appeared to him. Now, there's something that we do know, and this is one of the things. Whenever you read about a character in the Old Testament, look over in the New Testament to find out what it says about that character. Because usually it's always a revelation further in the New Testament. Why? Because the Old Testament's type and shadow. The New Testament's the real thing. You'll always find the New Testament will give you a further revelation of that individual if they're spoken of over there. We know this by what we're reading. We know this fact. We've been told in the New Testament, which we were not told if you read the Old Testament. The Old Testament don't say he was looking for a city. New Testament tells us he was. In other words, when the glory of God appeared to him, this is what we know. There was more shown to him than just about God saying, go to the other land. I don't know if Abraham was caught up in the Spirit and went to the New Jerusalem or not. But whatever happened, he saw the city. It's a good chance he may have gone there. And he said, I like this city better than no cities down there. See, most people don't. Most people like the earth. Most Christians like the earth better than heaven. We don't believe, you know, we have a greater revelation of heaven in the New Testament than there is of anything in the Old Testament. I mean, we go over the New Testament, the book of Revelation tells us what the city looks like, what the city of God's people, it's the city that's designed and made for God's people, this city, and that's the one Abraham was looking for. He was so real to him, that city, that he was willing to travel around down here and not get a piece of land. Why? There ain't no land down here good enough for me. There's no land down here worth owning compared to the one I saw. You see, we could deal with, you know, earthly wealth. It is pretty much spit compared to the glory over the other side. If you understand that, you won't be a money grubber. And money will be a wonderful thing for you because it'll be a great tool and God will be able to trust you with it because you won't hoard it to yourself like it is so valuable. I mean, you just think, I mean, we down here, I mean, heaven, I mean, you go up there to the city, the streets, they do paving with gold. I mean, down here, my God, people just treasure gold and think it's so wonderful. In heaven, it ain't no big deal. You walk on it. You know? It's like, my God, it ain't nothing but building material. Think about it. Jewels and stuff, they're building material. Why? Because you know what the most valuable thing in heaven is? The people, the saints. That's God's treasure. Ain't none of that other stuff. See, nobody will really walk by faith well until they know who they are. Most Christians are trying to become something. They don't know what they are. They keep trying to become something. They don't see, you know, well, yeah, God might like me a little bit, but it'll probably hit me in a fly swatter tomorrow. They don't see themselves as a treasure. They don't see themselves as the value. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He didn't go, I'm going to this great city. I might let you live there if you behave yourself. You know, I'll let you live out on the wall somewhere, maybe along, just outside the gate. I'll give you a spot. I'll just take a little old cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Jesus says, you idiot. Shut up. See, men in their thinking, people in their thinking, they don't think like God. We know this about Abraham. Abraham's walking by faith. Abraham saw something when the glory of God appeared to him. He saw something so incredible that it in itself was what sustained him to maintain this walk the rest of his life out there to fulfill the plan of God. And you know, it's the same way. This is why you and I have a revelation here from God that is so outstanding. Think about this. If you went over to Colossians, the third chapter, if you read the end of the second chapter, Paul said, why do you guys have all this don't touch, don't taste stuff? Why do you have all this stuff? He went on to tell them what to do. Set your minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The Christian is told, where's our mind supposed to be set? On things above. See, Abraham had a mind set on things above. This is what maintained him. See, we have all these revelations. You know, God don't have to appear to me. I don't have to get caught up to heaven where heaven becomes real to me. I just have to start believing the words out of the Bible instead of walking really is not getting my mind renewed with the Word of God and just walking in carnality in this earth. That's what most Christianity does. They walk in carnality in this earth. And so what happened? They spend all their time feeding the flesh. Then they're always coming up with these things of ideas of don't touch, don't taste, and all that stuff. You know, one of the most wonderful things is don't touch, don't taste. If I can walk in the glory, I don't want to touch and don't taste. I don't have to live by laws and rules. It's like Kenneth Hagin used to say, you know, they used to say to him about drinking. He told a guy one time, he said, you get saved. He said, the guy said, can I drink if I get saved? He said, you can drink as much as you want to. He said, you just won't want to. See, if you really follow God, you'll have that. If you get over and following God, you'll get to the place where it isn't don't touch and don't taste. There's things you won't have a desire to do. You lose desire. But you're going to have to get yourself fixed on the heavenly side. You got to get yourself fixed. There's got to be something greater than what your flesh wants. And sorry to say, most of Christianity today deals with promoting your flesh. Of your flesh is just out in the open. You know, watch what you're eating all the time. Get yourself a diet and walk around all the time. And every time you walk past food, all you do is think food. Then, you know, you get overheard money. So get around and start, they deal with you with money till after a while you can't think of nothing but dollar bills. They keep everything out there. And that's why people have such a hard time. People have a terrible time with it. Because why? They're really promoting law. Don't touch, don't taste. You know, we're trying to do it that way. Really, then to be, the Word tells us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's supposed to be a transformation where we're not out here living in a bondage, trying to stay away from stuff, trying to, you know, doing the old good old 12-step program that does nothing but lead you to the place of, my God, let me have the drink right now. You know, as soon as you get there, yeah, confess you're a drunk. Dear God. Well, the first thing they do, they put booze right on your mind when you get there trying to get out, trying to get away from it. Well, diets do the same thing and everything else we have today. That's a big mess up we got going on. It's all people's ideas about thinking. Food has been brought to the forefront of the American thought that, dear Lord, you want to eat the pages you see the pictures on. Dear God! Well, that's what they do. They keep promoting, sticking it in your face. Sticking food in your face all the time, telling you don't eat. Getting it on your mind. And so what did you do? You end up believing the things that they said. They become the things at the forefront of your thought. And after a while, you're dominated by the way of thinking. You're dominated by it. It's always on your mind. What if we got heaven on our mind? What if we got... And that thinking heavenly thoughts, thinking right thoughts, thinking about freedom, thinking not bound. Hallelujah. Thinking the right stuff. Not thinking about, oh my God, I just got to stay away from food. Oh, I just got to stay away from that. It's always a fight and a battle doing it that way. I don't know about you. I was never good at that. I don't know. Some people, they do it things from their willpower, but I'll tell you what, there are always people you don't like to be around. These people that are good at doing things by their willpower, they're people that you just like to, you know, tie them out in the highway. Let some traffic drive near them. People you can't stand. You can't stand to be around them. Because they're always trying to get it. As soon as you go pick up something to eat it, I don't eat that kind of stuff. I don't. They always have to notify you. And I always say, oh, I do. Glory to God. I think I'll have a second one. Well, I'll tell you. I found they quit talking to me quick. They go harass other idiots that'll turn around and listen to them. I just learned how to torment them. They learned to leave you alone. That's good preaching anyhow. But Abraham's out there. Now think of it. He has something so strong running in him that the temptation, because look at Abraham. I mean, Abraham became a wealthy man, but he is driven by a vision. He's not driven by the money. He's not driven by all this stuff. He ain't out there got all this wealth and he's out there buying the place up. You know, God said, I'm going to give you this as an inheritance. Here's where people make a mistake. God says he's going to give them something and we try to make it happen. Abraham never tried to buy the land. Yet he became rich in gold and silver. He became rich in all this, but he never tried to buy the land. I like that about Abraham. Abraham said, no, God said he's going to give it to me as an inheritance. You don't pay for your inheritance, at least last time I heard. See, we as Christians got an inheritance. You know what many Christians are trying to do? They're trying to buy it. Instead of using faith and taking it, they're trying to buy it. They're trying to earn it. They're trying to, I'll do this, then God will jump through the hoop and do this for me. And if I do, they're trying to buy it. They don't ever receive it. Faith in God receives the inheritance, believes it's true, and walks like it's true. Walks like I own something when it don't look like I own it at all. Well, you know, sickness knocks on your door and I'm walking and talking like I'm healed when sickness seems to be, you know, I'm not trying to earn it. I don't have to earn it. Health is my inheritance. I can't earn it. But by faith, I can grab a hold of it. In other words, faith really is sort of our, what you'd call a currency that really allows us to get what we ever are is in our inheritance. It allows us to take a hold of it. We do it by faith. If you try to get it any other way, it ain't going to work. People are trying to do it all the time. They're trying to earn their inheritance with God. They're trying to earn it. No, God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God rewards those. God is a rewarder. You believe that. He's given you an inheritance. You have it. It already belongs to you. Abraham lived in the land like he owned it. And you know what? After a while, the people in the land sort of figure he did. Because he's a guy that everybody starts to fear. This man. He ain't going around scaring anybody. He didn't come over like sometimes other countries do, will come in and buy up land, you know, and businesses and things. I remember when the Japanese were buying things up and all the Americans were scared that the Japanese were going to own America. Well, my word, let them own it and pay the tax on it. My God. Don't scare me none. All these people worry about the stupidest stuff. Oh, my words, we won't have nothing left in this land. People worry about all this stuff. They're crazy. See, Christians need to come to a place where they live like they own the place they live in. Christianity is not in that position right now. Christianity thinks that the government of America owns the country. And we talk it. We say it all the time, you know, and we don't act like we own anything. We need to start to walk. While we're here in this land, while we're here in this place, we're the only people who know how to please God. You didn't understand this. The rest of them can't please God. They won't have nothing to do with it. The government can't please God. Somebody's got to please God. Somebody's got to get something. Somebody's got to live like they're something. And the church isn't living like they're anything. They're living under the stuff that's going on rather than living, seeing themselves in their position or place. Abraham enters a land. This guy enters it like he belongs there. We find that, let me read a little bit further here in Acts the 7th chapter, verse 4. It says, then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Aram. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. Now he's speaking to these people. He says, and God gave him, listen to this, God gave him no inheritance in it. Not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no children, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. That's the promise of God. He's lived in this promise. He's out there walking around. God's going to do all this stuff. He's out there walking around. Why? God gave him a vision of a land. God gave him a vision of a place to live. God showed him a city and he said, wow, yeah, this is okay. God's going to give this out here to them, but I saw a city that I'm heading for. I'm heading for this other city. And really, Abraham's destiny was based upon that. Abraham would have never fulfilled God's plan. I imagine God would have eventually found somebody to do it, but I want you to think about this. When people don't fulfill God's plan, it can alter the future. You know, God has plans many times for families and stuff to get saved, but because people don't obey, they don't get saved. But God's plan was that they did. If people would have followed out, they could have walked and have set a future for God's plan. But people don't follow it. People don't walk in it. I learned a long time ago, you want to follow God's plan. Most Christianity today operates on and most of the preaching is on a very selfish motive. Most people only do what helps them. They don't have a vision. Abraham had a vision for something greater, his heavenly vision. You don't want to understand? When Abraham died, he didn't get to go to that city. No human could go to that city, not till after Jesus was raised from the dead. Everybody went to a place they called Abraham's bosom. It was a place there, but it wasn't that city. Abraham never got to go to that city. But Abraham, to get to that city, he was willing to do whatever it took so he could go to that city. Because he did, generations and generations of people are going to that city. You know, I would think that Abraham in heaven is going to be held at very high esteem. But I highly esteem him. Now, not more than God, but I'm just so thankful somebody obeyed God. His obeying God led to my salvation. Hallelujah. He obeyed God. All down through, there's people who obeyed God is why you and I are saved. We owe it to obey God for the generations behind us. If you don't obey God, I'm just going to say this. You don't love your children. You don't love your family. I don't care what you say. You can say anything you want. But you're not interested in their true destiny. We follow God for the destiny of others. I don't preach the gospel for me. I'm saved. I'm doing all right. I preach it for others. That's why I do it. That's my job, is to preach it for others to be blessed. That's why we do it. Hallelujah. And so we need to understand that. We're interested in the destiny of others, and that's what Abraham was interested in. This is why Abraham is mentioned. If we take these people of faith, Abraham is mentioned more than anybody. what it talks about what he did. Why? Because, man, I tell you, I can understand why he's called the father of our faith. This man really had a vision of faith, and it wasn't, man, this man's vision of faith was extended really out into the future, into the time, I believe, when the New Jerusalem will sit down on this earth. The New Jerusalem is going to be the city, and when it comes down, it's going to set in the land. The New Jerusalem will set on the land where today the Jews live. So if you don't like Israel, you're going to hate the New Jerusalem. It ain't going to be because you're going to have to live over there with them people. I do. The Arabs might as well get over it. Get over it now. Hallelujah. But anyhow, so but this man, he didn't get a possession. He didn't get anything. But this man went to this land. And so he just walked by faith and he followed God in that land. Now we have, I just want to read from Genesis, the 12th chapter here. Genesis, the 12th chapter speaks of Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter. And in verse 1 it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham," the Lord spoke to him. He says, "Get out of your country." He said, "From your family and from your father's house to a land that I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse them who curse you. And in you all the family," listen, "all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Can you imagine? Everybody is going to be blessed if you obey. Now see, most people sit around and think about that. Yeah, well, that was for Abraham. I'm going to tell you what. There's never anybody in this earth who has not obeyed God that has not been a blessing to everybody in this earth. See, you might not see the significance of your obedience. If you don't, you're never going to amount to much as a Christian. Obedience of God's people in this earth is affecting everybody all the time. Obedience of God's people. That's why we want to obey. Because there's reward. The reward just ain't for us, it's for others. It's for others. Abraham's told about this obedience. You go to this land. We find this out. What does God tell him? God says, you know what? You need to leave your family and your household. You need to leave them. You know, this is one of the things that I found out from a Christian perspective. And I found out for people growing up spiritually. Lots of people don't ever grow up spiritually because they never leave their tie to their regular families. Their regular families hold such a great part in their life that their effect on them, and it's usually not good, keeps them dragging them down. You know, God called Abraham out. He said, you got to leave your family. Now, I want you to understand this. We went through the things. Abraham went and got a wife for his son from his family. But when you go over there and meet his family, what do? We take her and come back here and live. We don't want to live with them because it'll turn out to no good. Jacob went over. Remember, Jacob was sent back to the land to live. He found out it was like over there. It was nice to get back into the land. You ain't going to live godly. You know, I found out, you know, that you have to separate yourself from things. There's stuff, and sometimes, many times, it doesn't mean, you know, I didn't throw my family out, but I'll tell you what, from a tie standpoint, spiritually, I'll tell you what, I learned to stay away from, because your family, many times, will try to drag you down. They'll try to keep you in the place where you were, you know, sort of like, my mama, she would just always try to mother you. And you need to get away from that. Most people need to get away from their mamas. Now, we know that. Moms and dads sometimes, they're too much over in the areas of trying to control too much stuff. And they're trying to do things. And they're the biggest problems of why people don't walk right. They're the hugest problems. And I found out, you'll walk and follow God. There's things you have to stay away from. You got to learn, if you're going to do the will of God, you got to learn what affects you. You know, I see people and that stuff. They don't get in, Christians, they don't get involved in drinking and doing bad stuff, cussing and swearing. But they're hooked up with their families, or they'd be better off a drunk than they would, because they're going nowhere with their families. Because their families hold a place that always drag them down, that always keep them back. That they're so busy trying to please their family. They're so busy trying to, you know, keep everything right and things going in the family. You know, I learned a long time ago, man, they're old enough to take care of themselves. They don't need my job. The whole thing that I did, I'm seeking God so they end up in heaven. They might live like hell while I'm here and I don't really pay much attention to it. I don't really care. They're going to end up in heaven. God done told me. That's what counts. We're so busy trying to perfect every little thing around in life. We're having, you know, it's like the person, you know, that goes out and spends all their time manicuring their yards and doing so. Everything got to be just so perfect and everything got to be so nice, you know. All summer long, they're out there just working on that thing, just making this. I'm thinking, dear God, let the weeds grow. I don't care. You know, there's more important things in life. Nothing about having things nice and keep it. But people today are in this obsessive mode trying to take care of everything. And they don't realize it's demonic. It's demonic. It's demons. They're yielding to demon spirits, and they don't see what's important in life and what really needs to be done. They're trying to, they, you know, like I hear people talking about praying for their families. Well, dear God, no wonder their prayers don't get answered. They're always praying like God ain't doing nothing for their family. Oh, God, you know that. Oh, help them. Oh, God, do that. Oh, God, do that. When I've learned about the things, the best thing I can do is obey God. If I obey God, then I don't have to pray night and day, and whatever I ask, He'll do it. The reason they got to pray night and day is because they don't ever follow God. And they're trying to whine Him, you know, if I just weep and wail enough, then maybe He'll just, we'll twist His arm good, then He'll do it for me, you know. And it's Abraham. He said, you leave your family and household. If Abraham wouldn't have left his family and his household, he said, didn't say, hey, you drag them all over there with you. He said, dear Lord, forget the land. And you have to know that. Now, I'm not talking about being ugly to your families and stuff and things like that. But there's things you have to learn in your life. You need to grow up spiritually and understand some things. People don't. And they maintain a lot of trouble in that stuff. I found out breaking away with a lot of family tie things that they had, you know, worrying about the family stuff. It saved me a lot of grief. Of things that I did, because I'm trying to maintain, trying to take care of stuff. Now, they're old enough. They need to take care of themselves. They need help, say, fine. But I'm going to tell you, do you ever notice we never listen to a thing you say? Don't you finally get smart enough to quit giving them advice? I don't talk to them about stuff anymore. I know they ain't none of my older brothers going to listen to their little brother. I don't care how right he is. They're going to keep on with their stupidity and just keep doing their dumb stuff. I know it. Ain't none of them going to recognize me or the office I stand in with God. They ain't going to do it. I got enough sense to know that. You better wake up. We think like all of a sudden they're just going to, the light's going to come on. God, if God can't turn the light on in them, you ain't. And see, we need to be understanding this stuff. If we're going to do the will of God, here's where it is, you know, I believe many people want to do the will of God, but they have their idea what the will of God is. The will of God was not for me to fix my family. That wasn't the will of God. The will of God was for me to do whatever He wanted me to do. And I found out, I'd have never went to Bible school if I'd have stayed close to my family. I'd have never obeyed God. I've heard, how many people I've heard say, yeah, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that. I believe God wants me, but I got this here right now and with my family and I got this and that other thing. And I think, yeah, okay, you go ahead. You ain't going to ever do the will of God. Just blowing wind. They're ties to people. They think that it's their job to take care of that person. Man, I couldn't take care of them when I was a sinner. What makes them think I'm going to just start taking care of it? I learned this. I had to trust God with my family. I said, God, you're going to work in them. God, you're going to do it. I'm totally convinced of the fact that there's many people out here today who aren't born again is because their family, the ones that are always trying to help them, are the ones that are causing 90% of the problem. Trying to buy them out of their situations every time they get in a mess. And you know what they do? They run to the Christian in the family that they don't like to begin with, and they're always asking them to help them. The one they never listen to, and you're supposed to give me the money. I don't do it. I got enough sense to know. I don't do it. I ain't buying them out of their situations and stuff. See, if we do this, they'll see the love of Jesus. You know what they see? I can live like hell. And this idiot here will just keep giving me the money. I can just keep doing the same rotten things I always do. Get the money and just keep doing it. Woo-hoo! Well, yeah, folks, it's good preaching anyhow. But people do it. We're always trying to think. We think if we bail them out of a problem. I learned this. God, what should I do in this situation? I ain't so quick to say, yes, I'll get involved and help. I'm not quick to say that. Because I found out most of the time with the help don't work. I watch it out here. All this charity we have in America. Do you realize how much money, how many billions of dollars is given in charity in America? It's really solved the problem, hasn't it? Isn't America a wonderful place to live with? Just problems are all fixed. We give more money to charity than the entire gross national product of most nations. And those most nations live better than we do mentally. See, we need to think about it. God told Abraham, see, when you left, there's one thing about us being Christian. Abraham is a type and shadow. You were supposed to go move to a land when you got born again. And if people want to hang out with you, we're supposed to invite them to the land. The church hasn't done that. The church always lives in their land. And then plays Christianity to their tune. What do you want me to do so you'll think I'm a Christian? What do you want me to do so you think I love you? Oh, yeah, see, people do it all the time. People get so afraid their kids ain't going to love them if they don't do what they want. That's why we have such rotten kids today. That's why so many people are so messed up. They have been given way too much. Without earning, without being responsible, given everything under the sun, taken care of and stuff. Not responsible for their lives. I'm often thankful, you know. My mom and dad, they didn't treat us from that standpoint like they were smart. They expected us to do some things. They just didn't hand you everything out of the sun. You got in trouble? Well, how do you get that fixed? Well, you're going to have to do such and such. They didn't turn around and help you out of something when you weren't doing nothing. When you went and did all the wrong stuff, they didn't come and bail you out. They didn't bail you out. They didn't do that. They were smart. I found this out. Well, my parents, the way that they raised me and things that they taught me is what helped me to today that I can walk in faith. And I know this for a fact. That's why many Christians can't walk in faith. Their mental situation, they have been destroyed by their family life. They think God is like their family life. Somebody's always trying to take care of them, take care of it. They go mess up and somebody else bailing you out. It don't work that way. It doesn't work like that. Nobody can bail you out. The devil don't care. He'll come and stomp on your property. He don't care. The devil will send others to come and step on you and kick you around. But you know, nobody can protect you all the time. Nobody can take care of you. And we need to teach our children that. They need to stand up. We need to expect things out of our children and say, hey, you know, I don't believe in parents, you know, 30 and 40 year old kids and the parents are still have to take care of them and stuff. And I don't believe in it. The only reason that happens is because of sin. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin. It goes on in our nation because people weren't taught responsibility, so therefore it goes on. I mean, we've got these kids coming out of college. They come out of college, they can't make it. They got to, you know, parents done spent money, put them in college, and they come home and they got to live with mom and dad. Say, hey, hold it. Now, you need to understand why. Now, there's some practical sides to this. You can't take a person and they're not being responsible for one third of their life. You know, the average kid, if you take average lifespan, the average kid goes through grade school, goes through high school, goes to college, has spent a third of their life, and the average one today has not worked a job. And we wonder why when they come out of college, they don't want to work. They have been just trained not to work. They have been taught for a third of their life, you don't do anything, people take care of you. And then we say, well, I don't understand why they don't have a job. They want to live at home, man. Yeah, you can live at home. You live in your own home. Say, well, it's hard out there. I ain't got much money. Well, you'll learn how to take care of that one because you ain't going to get it here. Well, see, we need to understand. But if they haven't been trained or taught, so we run into this thing generational-wise. So to the time they figure out how they ought to be working, they're trying to get retirement. But see, all of this comes because of people trying to be God in other people's lives. I don't want my kids to face hardships. There's things that you need to, if you don't have anything to ever apply your faith to, you are never going to have great faith. Great faith comes through great trials. If you want to live in flowery beds of ease, you ain't going to have a nothing faith. It ain't going to ever happen. Faith comes It is useful when you have trials. There's things that I had to stand through. That's how I learned to believe. I had to stand through. There wasn't somebody to bail me out. When God told me, you don't ask other people to pray for you when you're sick. You stand. Thank God I have a God that's different than most people's God. Most people are such whiners. He ever said it to them, they just break down and cry for the rest of their life. They couldn't stand it. Oh, he expects me to do something. He told me, you can't do that. He said, you got to learn to stand. You know, he's a lot like my daddy. We don't have that today. And you know, when we told our kids, there's things that they had, they learned. My kids at about 10 years old could believe God for more things than most people 40, 50, 60 years old and saved 30 years. They could believe God to do stuff. And people said, I see people today that are sitting around, there's always this struggle of faith in their life. I think, my God, you've been in this thing how long? When are you going to have faith? When are you just going to trust God one day? But you find out when you start to look around to what the problem is, they're going around involving their faith into everything but what God wants them to be involved in. They're out around trying to take care of all of this and all of that and the other thing. They're trying to take care of it. They were trying to mother and do this. See, we're taught this. Our society is trying to turn everybody into a woman. It's exactly what they're doing. You know, us men, we're just supposed to be so cuddly and cute. That's what we're all supposed to be. I'm not. I'm a man. I'm not a something else. God made me a man. That's what I am. And you know what? I'm not always so cuddly and cute. But I'm going to tell you what, I know how to lead to get somewhere. And I'm sorry. Some of you women, you want your husbands and stuff to be cute little cuddly thing. He ain't. And then some, you know, some of the guys want to wear the panties and women want to wear the pants. They got this whole thing messed up. But see, in our society, we're told in America, we can do this. A lot of men are too laid back. We need men in America. Man, we need men. We ain't got them. We ain't got no men. Because there's nobody to lead nobody somewhere. We have no leaders. That's why we have in Washington, we have no leaders. They can't pass these kind of laws they're passing down there and them men stay leaders. That spirit's getting on them and turning them into the same thing they're voting for. Turning them into the same stuff. I see, we need to know the difference. We need to understand. We don't have leaders. And today it's about oppressing leadership. It's about, we spend our whole lives, all we're doing is just trying to take care of everything and all problems, all that's what we're focused on. We don't have time. The church don't have time to seek God because we're just focused on all the problems and praying about all the problems and we're praying about all the stuff. It's all we do. Just like an old, you know, mother hen running around just trying to take care of them little chicks all the time. Just, you know, trying to keep them out of trouble. Then we talk about, I'm believing God. Folks, it's good preaching anyhow. We don't have no notes on it, but it's pretty darn good. But see, we need it. This is our big failure in America. The stuff that's coming across on our TVs and stuff, and things, I'm going to tell you, it's not dealing with the reality of the problem. It's not dealing with the lack of depth in spirituality that we're dealing with. We're teaching people principles that have no foundation. See, there's things you just got to do. Right? The Word tells you certain things you do right. It just tells you. You know, it's a list of things. You know, don't do this, don't do that. You know, Paul has some of those in there. People say, I don't know, that's legalistic. Well, you better not do it because if you do, it's going to cost you. And see, we need to understand these things. We're talking about this stuff. We need to be shaken up. See, I believe this year can be the greatest year of change for the church. There's a culture for us to live, and that culture is in this book. It's not American. It's not any nationality. It's a totally different thing than all. And we're supposed to come to this. We're supposed to be seeking God. God, what do you want for my life? Instead of God, this is what I want for my life. God, I want this. I want that. God, I'd like this. I'd like that. God, what do you want? See, this was the big thing that changed my life. The change in my life was the fact that when I first got born again, I just started saying, God, what do you want? What am I supposed to do? See, did the opposite. God had me, well, the first thing, God had me do the opposite concerning Wanda. That I got born again and the Lord spoke to me. Because see, number one, he spoke to me for this reason. I was seeking him. See, most people, They don't ever seek Him. They never, why they run into God, they never say, well, I never had God ever talk to me. Did you ever seek Him long enough to give Him an opportunity to talk to you? Have you ever gone after Him? Have you ever just gone day after day after God and you put everything else aside? See, this is what I was told by Christianity when I started off. You're spending too much time with God. You're going to get weird. See, I've spent it. I had a minister tell me, you know, I'm starting off as a Christian. I had other elders, a bunch of carnal buzzards, didn't know nothing, barely saved. No, you're spending too much time with God. You know what the Lord had told me? The Lord told me this. He told me, number one, leave Wanda alone. He said, don't even talk to her about salvation. Don't talk to her. When Wanda asked, I told Wanda I got born again. I didn't know even at the time she understood what that meant or whatever it did. I don't know if she did or not. But I told her that, and I left it at that, because the Lord said to me, you let her alone. She don't trust you. You just let Wanda be. See, most people never even think about asking God who or what they ought to be doing. First thing they do is what, you know, what the world tells them we ought to do. He said, let your wife alone. Well, that just, I guarantee you this, 99% of preachers say, you're wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you, it worked. So if it was wrong, let me alone. I'm going to keep doing this wrong stuff. It keeps working out. Wanda got saved without me preaching a word to her. Without me preaching the things. Number one, he said, she don't trust you. The reason she didn't trust me, because I was untrustworthy. And how could she tell I was untrustworthy? It was my actions. So in other words, my actions had to change. God changed the way I acted. And that's what grabbed her heart for God. We don't change what we do. We still have the same old outcome. This is why nothing's ever... People are going, why my kid don't straighten out? Well, quit doing it the way you've been doing it. I'll tell you why they don't straighten out. Because what you do is wrong. If it would have worked after 20 years, it should have worked by now, shouldn't it? Well, hey, come on, folks. Let's be honest. If something ain't working, it ain't working, you know? You know, your car breaks down. You just keep changing the same part all the time and the car never works. And for 20 years, you never got the car working and just kept changing that same part. You'd come down one day when you stop and say, you think maybe I'm doing something wrong? But see, God led me in paths where God would tell me to do things. It did not seem reasonable to the way things were to be done. Yet they worked. They'd work out. They would work. And I got used to things. Well, you know, you just because somebody says something, you don't jump to it. You stop and say, hey, God, what about this thing? How many times God's told me people run into situations, problems? Even people in church, God told me, let it alone. I had people, God tell me about it. Don't even bother praying about it. They know what to do and they won't do it. He said, you praying about it ain't going to help at all. Yet there's people who come and ask you to pray. I never lie to people and tell them to pray. You know how many times I get people come to me and say, would you pray for me about this or that and the other thing? I'm not going to tell a person I'm going to pray about it. I want to find out. You need to find out what you're praying about. Somebody said, will you pray about me about this thing or that thing? I want to know about that thing. Just pray for me about this. We just sort of throw prayer out there as some stupid little thing that we just do. You don't need to know nothing about it. We just go through this routine and do our little dance and shuffle around. And ta-da! The amount of times God has told me not to pray for individuals about certain things. He said, don't pray for them with that. That ain't going to work at all. This is what their problem is. Well, sometimes he'll show me what problem. I know what to pray about with the individual, and it ain't at all what they're praying about. That's why it never changes for them. Because they're praying about what they think. They never ask God. You know, you're lousy physicians. Just like me, I was a lousy physician. I was untrustworthy in diagnosing myself. And so are you. That's why I go to the big physician and say, what is wrong with this dude? He sees what I don't see about me. See, most people spend their whole prayer life, nothing ever changes in their life, and they spend their whole life praying about stuff and nothing ever changes. And they get over, well, what's going on, what's going on? Because you're wasting your time praying. It ain't what's wrong with you. I found out I had to go to God and say, what's wrong with me? What am I dealing with? Like I did it one time. He told me. He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. I said, thank you, sir. That was a nice thing for you to say. In other words, all I was running around was putting Band-Aids on stuff. I wasn't doing a thing of fixing because I didn't even know what my problem was. And when he showed me what my problem was, I could have fixed that a long time ago. But I went for years and didn't get it fixed because I was so bent on, I'm so smart, I know what to do. And see, that's what I encourage you. We're coming into this year. The Lord told me some years ago, He said, why do you believe what you believe? And I just want to ask you, if you'll judge yourself in what you believe, you will never change till you start to examine why you believe what you believe. I will guarantee you this. You're going to run into what I ran into. I started going back to the scriptures of what I believed and why I believed it. And I ran into all kinds of things and found out that, my God, the scripture doesn't even really teach it the way that I've been told. And I just sort of bought it and went along. Now, it wasn't people trying to be bad. They, you know, were teaching what they thought was right. But I bought it and never examined it. And I started going back and examining things and thought, my God, this is different than what I thought. A lot of things became different than what I thought. And sometimes we've been taught the right thing, but it's how we took it. We were told the right thing, but we don't see it in the level that they told us. We looked at it from a very childish way. And when I went over there and started examining those things, I found out, my words, I really didn't have a depth of knowledge of what they were saying. I didn't know what they were really saying to me. And it began to change the way that I think. One, you know, the whole thing was, when I changed the way that I thought, it's amazing how many problems could get fixed. This is what Kenneth Hagin said. He said this, the number one thing that the church needs is a renewed mind. The number one. Now, if you went around and did a poll today among spirit-filled Christians, ask them the one number one thing the church needs, I will guarantee you that would be low on the totem pole. See, most people never renew their mind. They hear preaching, they hear teaching, but they never change the way they think. You can listen to good teaching and preaching, but never change the way you think. You've got to change the way you think. You know, God taught me, and this was one of my first years, God taught me. See, I had a drunk mentality. I was a drunk. Drunk and druggy. That's what I was. That was my mentality. I heard, you know, you could sit and listen to good teaching and still just be the, just stay on the scene. Now don't just take, you know, drugs or alcohol. People do it in other areas of their life. It's just as bad. Just as bad. They do it. It's because they never renew the way, they never change the way they think. They keep thinking along in line and the same exact things. They keep thinking the same way. When a problem arises, what do? They immediately go to the same path that to solve a problem that didn't work before. And so what happens? They end up right back in the same mess that they were in before. So they end up going back to it. That's why, because they never change the way that they think. They never renew their mind with the Word of God. They maintain that. And see, it takes labor. One of the big things that I did as a young Christian is changing him. I look at Abraham. Abraham is quite an astounding man. Abraham must have been a man who was seeking after God. He must have been, not the fact that he knew who God was, but he must have been seeking of something truth. But we know from a quality of character of Abraham that Abraham was a man who had his own mind under some kind of control of what he was going to think. And this is something you have to learn to do. You have to learn to take control of your mind. You must do that. You have to. You can't renew your mind if your mind, you're trying to let somebody else control what you think. We're living in a society that is mostly, most people's minds are controlled by media, by all kinds of things. We have sold our minds out to a lot of things that we let people speak in our minds. They become authorities in our lives and we let them talk into us. We believe what they say. And they control what we think. I had to learn. God had to teach me. I had to take my mind back. And make it mine. And make it my responsibility for its outcomes. Not blaming it on somebody else. He kept having it because I'd try to blame my problems on Wanda. And you know, well, she did this wrong. Well, this happened. Well, see, I would try to turn it over. Well, see, I would try to, like, this experience. Because this happened, yeah, and that's why I did that. He would never allow me to do that. He would always deal with me on that. Say, no, you're the problem. And he started, why can't somebody else be at fault? I want to blame Sherry. My God. Let's blame somebody. You know, hey, you're laughing. I was doing that. I'd get so mad. Because I want to blame somebody. But I finally got the point. Realized. And then I got Kenneth Hagin's little book. It said, don't blame God. Because when I couldn't blame anybody else, we did blame him. You guys never did that. You were always so cute with God. I know. Well, I'd get mad. I would get mad over things, and I think. And when I got don't blame God, and I started realizing, I was either the problem of my life or I was being a blessing in my life. I was one of the two. When I came to realize that it was about me. When that happened, my mind really started getting renewed to that. I became free. The first time in my life that I really see, people talk about, you know, when they first got saved, there, you know, this big change. I had a change. But I'll tell you what, the biggest change as it came as my mind got renewed. I began to think right. My mind was messed up. See, this is why today we have so much trouble. We have people with such messed up minds are getting born again. They wonder what's going on. If you can't, you got to get to church. You got to sit down, listen to the words. You got to make it a priority in your life is to getting your mind, your thinking changed, because that's what changes your life. It changed my whole view. When problems would come along, it would change my whole view about how to deal with things. That's what the renewing of the mind did that. If I wouldn't have renewed my mind, I would just kept responding to the same things in the same ways. And people are doing that. The reason it is there, you might have some areas you got under control, but you might have some areas you don't. Well, you got to take that area that you don't. And usually they're the things you don't like to study in the Bible. They're the things you don't like to hear preached to you. Because you won't go to, I'll tell you what, you won't get your mind renewed really good of anything of listening to most preachers on TV. Today they're not teaching enough of substance to dealing with you about your trouble. They won't say that because you quit sending the checks. They won't sit and tell you you're your own most worst enemy. That's what I had to learn. I was being my own worst enemy. It wasn't nothing bad said to me. I was. It was the truth. I was killing me. Until you learn that, I had to learn that. I was, you know, Ed, look at America's guy. You're troubled. That's his ends. That guy in there, you're finished. I'm tired of you. You're not getting away with it anymore. Well, I had a big mouth and God wouldn't let me say anything to anybody else. It was nice to yell at someone once in a while. But I just want to encourage you, is this year, I'll tell you what, we're going to be Abraham's. We're going into a new land, folks. We're going to leave behind what has held us back. And I'll tell you, the church is entering a land. If you seek God, you'll find Him. If you knock, it's going to be open to you. We're coming into this place. I'll tell you what, we're not going to think the same. We're going to be a changed people. We're going to have a heavenly vision. There's going to be more things important to you and I in this next year than when all this stuff is going on. But I'm going to tell you what, if we will move in the right direction, it's going to be a great effect on a lot of people. It'll be a great effect on a lot of people. Oh, he got one. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you today. Father, we set our minds and set our thinking. Father, it is your plan and your purpose.